Hello, I'm Pastor Rod Holler of the Cape Baptist Church in Cape Coral, Florida. I hope this message will be a blessing to you. Thanks for listening.
1 Kings, God sends Elijah to Ahab. Israel has divided into two kingdoms, and the emphasis is on the northern kingdom. The two tribes in the south are Judah, the 10 tribes to the north are called Israel. And Israel has gotten themselves in a terrible state of spiritual decay. Judah, the two tribes, still has and always will have a descendant of King David on the throne. The northern kingdom will not have that. Think about that. God promised David the kingdom, never ending. His descendants, good, bad, or ugly, some of them were pretty nasty, but they were still of the lineage of David. So if you read Matthew chapter 1, this is the genealogy of Jesus Christ, the son of David. Even he was in that bloodline. This is why we study Israel. It is the true kingdom. There's been the tremendous contest on Mount Carmel. The fire, the prophets are slain. Elijah prays for rain. God delivers. And Elijah cops an attitude. After all that God's done for him, through him, with him. And God has put him on a shelf. And we have been studying in our last few studies, there's no Elijah. A little more of that later. In the northern kingdom is King Ahab. He is the most wicked king of all the other kings. That's saying something. That's how wicked this man was. What was his crime? Idolatry. And yet, through all of this, as God was extending mercy to Elijah, he is extending mercy to King Ahab. Aren't you glad? Because we're all sinners. Elijah had a very brash personality, and I do believe he made it hard for some people, actually, in their Christian walk. He was so obnoxious. Other prophets are being used in his stead. Elijah has been selected as his replacement. That's not yet to come. Elijah still has a few more days on earth. In our last study, we considered Naboth. He had a vineyard right up against the palace, and King Ahab said, "I want it." He said, "I won't sell it." Ahab's wife learns of this, and she plots to have men of Belial, wicked men. Probably weren't too hard to find these guys in Northern Kingdom. And I need you to testify against this man, and we'll stone him to death, and that way the property will be free, and my husband will have it. Well, Naboth was falsely accused, tried, and executed. And we do have to wonder sometimes, why does God let that happen to people? But he does, for some reason. All over a vineyard, the nation suffered. Well, tonight we're going to consider God sends Elijah to Ahab. Our text is going to be chapter 21, verses 17 to 29. Let us please read. And the word of the Lord came to Elijah the Tishbite, saying, "Rise and go out and meet Ahab, king of Israel, which is in Samaria. Behold, he is in the vineyard of Naboth, whither he has gone down to possess it. And thou shalt speak unto him, saying, Thus saith the Lord, Hast thou killed and also taken possession? And thou shalt speak unto him, saying, Thus saith the Lord, In the place where dogs licked the blood of Naboth, shall dogs lick thy blood, even thine. And Ahab said to Elijah, Hast thou found me, O mine enemy? And he answered, I have found thee, because thou hast sold thyself to work evil in the sight of the Lord. Behold, I will bring evil upon thee, and I will take away thy posterity, and will cut off from Ahab him that pisseth against the wall, and him that is shut up and left in Israel. I will make thine house like the house of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, and like the house of Baasha, the son of Ahijah, for the provocation wherewith thou hast provoked me to anger, and made Israel to sin. And of Jezebel also spake the Lord, saying, the dogs shall eat Jezebel by the wall of Jezreel. Him that dieth of Ahab in the city the dogs shall eat. And him that dieth in the field shall the fowls of the air eat. But there was none like unto Ahab, which did sell himself to work wickedness in the sight of the Lord, whom Jezebel his wife stirred up. And he did very abominably in following idols, according to all things as did the Amorites, whom the Lord cast out before the children of Israel. And it came to pass when Ahab heard these words, that he rent his clothes, and put sackcloth upon his flesh, and fasted, and lay in sackcloth, and went softly. And the word of the Lord came to Elijah the Tishbite, saying, seest thou how Ahab humbles himself before me? Because he humbleth himself before me, I will not bring the evil in his days, but in his son's days will I bring the evil upon his house. Verses 17 to 19, God instructs Elijah to confront Ahab, and he tells him what to say. In 20 to 24, Elijah delivers the message to Ahab. And in 25 to 29, God sees Ahab's response to Elijah's message and has mercy on him. It is amazing how God uses any of us, you know it? You read this and you think, why don't you just squash these people? And he said, well, I'd have to squash you too. Chapter 21, verse 17, and the word of the Lord came to Elijah. That hasn't been said for several chapters. How Elijah must have felt. Thank you. And God gives him instructions. I have an important message. I need you once again to go to a king. Verse 18, arise, go down to meet Ahab, king of Israel, which is in Samaria. Behold, he is in the vineyard of Naboth, whither he has gone down to possess it. And here's what I want you to say, Elijah. And thou shalt speak unto him, saying, thus saith the Lord. Hast thou killed and also taken possession? And thou shalt speak unto him, saying, thus saith the Lord. I have to wonder here as we see God repeating, thus saith the Lord, if he's gently saying, I don't want a loose cannon. I want you to say my words. Thus saith the Lord, in the place where dogs lick the blood of Naboth, shall dogs lick thy blood, even thine. You do realize God has allowed King Ahab to be the king, Jezebel to be the queen, and he allowed them the wickedness that they did. He's patient. It's not that he just tolerates and says, well, if that's the way they're going to be. No, he's patient and merciful. But that doesn't mean he wants it or it's okay. He's giving him time to think. He allowed Jezebel to succeed in killing Naboth. I can't explain why. I just know that it's there. Do you ever stop and think sometimes, why are people starving around the world and we live in a land of plenty? I know this. He didn't put us here to feel guilty. He put us here to use these blessings to his glory. And yes, it ought to motivate us when we sit down to eat or we walk down a grocery store and see the shelves filled. We need to say, thank you, Lord. Because a lot of places around this world don't have near what we have. So why he allows what he does, I don't know, but I know this. He's with us. Use whatever your circumstances are to his glory and honor. And so it is, the nation is under terribly poor leadership with Ahab and Jezebel. And you read the news, go around the world, and you can read about how leaders have abused the people, their citizens. And they live in wealth, and their people live in poverty, and people are starving. And God says, I'm still on the throne, trust me. One day, all things will be made right. So it is, God is now calling again on Elijah. He's been chastened by God, and rightfully so. This is the first time we've heard him since 1 Kings. You don't have it for space sake, but let me just quickly review 1 Kings 19, 13 to 16. Elijah went out and stood in the entering of the cave, and there came a voice, "What doest thou here, Elijah?" "I've been very jealous for the Lord of hosts, because the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thine altars, and slain thy prophets with the sword. And I, even I, am left, and they seek my life." He's throwing a temper tantrum pity party. "You really think you're that righteous, Elijah?" And the Lord said unto him, "Go, return on thy way to the wilderness of Damascus, and when thou comest, anoint Hazael to be king over Syria, and Jehu the son of Nimshi shalt thou anoint to be king over Israel. And Elisha the son of Shaphat of Abel-Meholah shall thou anoint to be prophet in thy room." That's God speaking. Among all these different things, and you go appoint that guy to be your replacement. Now granted, it hasn't happened yet. Elisha is traveling with Elijah in training. But God's serious. You throw a temper tantrum, enough is enough. You are a man of God. You have seen fire from heaven. And you can do this. Elijah has been chastened. None of us are exempt. We must all discipline ourselves in the eyes, the sight of an almighty God and live right. He is merciful, but there does come a time when enough is enough. And I think we should all have a healthy fear, respectful fear of God. I don't want to disappoint him. And I know that he also will chasten me for my own good. And Elijah is told what to say. In verse 19, "And thou shalt speak unto him, saying, Hast thou killed and also taken possession?" Now, surely Ahab knew what Jezebel did concerning Naboth, and he did nothing to stop it. Therefore, he's guilty. Now, it is interesting as we read this, we have different truths. Fearing God and doing right. The New Testament, in essence, tells us that. The Old Testament illustrates it. Here's a man that disobeyed. Watch what happens. Well, here's another interesting truth. Ahab did nothing to stop Jezebel. Take a look at James chapter 4 in the New Testament. "Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin." Do you think Ahab knew that it was sin for his wife to go have a guy murdered and do nothing about it? He is just as guilty of murder. The Old Testament illustrates it. The New Testament states it clearly. I think it's interesting to note that God sent Elijah to Ahab, not to Jezebel, not to the elders, the nobles, the people of the town. He went back to the king because he appoints authority and he expects to work through authority, and he is going to confront Ahab with his great sin. God is very serious about leadership doing right before him and before the people. "Hast thou killed and also taken possession?" It's interesting as you think about this, and those of you who are with us in the study of 1 Samuel and David and 2 Samuel, and here we have the king murdering, and King David murdered. He murdered Uriah, and he sent messengers to fetch Bathsheba. And we have King Ahab and his wife sending messengers to do the dirty work. And he's guilty of murder. David directed, you can read it there in 2 Samuel 11:14-17. David wrote a letter to Joab and sent it by the hand of Uriah. And he wrote in the letter saying, "Set ye Uriah in the forefront of the hottest battle, and retire ye from him that he may be smitten and die." Calculate. Oh, I didn't do it. It happened out there in battle. Folks, you can try to deceive men and you can succeed sometimes. You will never succeed in deceiving God. So it is, Uriah the Hittite died in essence at the hand of David. And we have King Ahab having Naboth dying. There was a difference. There was a difference. David confessed, absolutely, "I have sinned. I have sinned." Take a look at 2 Samuel 12:13. "And David said unto Nathan, I have sinned against the Lord." Folks, just admit it. God already knows it. Don't feel you're going to burn his ears when you tell him this. He already knows. He wants you to truly confess it and say, "I was wrong." Now, it is very merciful that David was spared the death sentence, because whosoever sheddeth man's blood is supposed to be executed. David truly felt terrible. Let's compare 1 Kings 21:27. Getting ahead a little bit in our text, "And it came to pass, when Ahab heard those words, that he rent his clothes," he tore them, "and put sackcloth upon his flesh, and fasted, and lay in sackcloth, and went softly. And the word of the Lord came to Elijah." Do you see how he's humbled himself? Now, his humility is not quite as graphic, as complete as David's was. David came out, "I have sinned." I don't see that level of confession. But nonetheless, God in his mercy, God in his wisdom, spared both of those men the death sentence. David took and used his life for the Lord. Consider Psalm 51, a psalm of David. "Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness. According unto the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Wash me throughly from mine iniquity. Cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Against thee and thee only have I sinned, and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest, and be clear when thou judgest." King David had an incredible apology, confession. "I'm sorry, it's my fault. I did it. I feel horrible." King Ahab will be punished with his life. Consider David. What did he suffer? 2 Samuel 12:10. "Now therefore, David, the sword shall never depart from thy house, because thou hast despised me and hast taken thy wife of Uriah the Hittite to be thy wife." Sometimes you may look and you see, why does God let so-and-so get away with that? Do you think David ran out and said, "Hey, everybody, listen, look what God's going to do to me"? I don't think so. He was being punished, and punished greatly. And the sword would never depart from his house. And you read the story in 2 Samuel of the deaths, of the turmoil, the struggles in his own family. The sword never left his house. Ahab, the dogs are going to lick thy blood. When you're done, you're not going to have this incredible monument built. The people are going to have you laying in the street. The dogs will lick the blood. It won't be pretty. This is the heritage. This is the legacy that you will leave. Verse 20, "And Ahab said to Elijah, Hast thou found me, O mine enemy? And he answered, I have found thee." You can still see the animosity there, the tension. "O my enemy, What a nice greeting. Glad to see you. And he answered, I have found thee because thou hast sold thyself to work evil in the sight of the Lord. You know, he may not like Elijah as God's man, but that doesn't change truth. If God sends this message to you, don't shoot the messenger. Listen. Accept it. Quote, Ahab was at the summit of his hopes. He was about to complete his summer palace and to grasp the fruits of the crime which he had allowed his wife to commit. But at the gate of Naboth's vineyard stood the ominous figure of the prophet in his hairy garb. We can imagine the revulsion of feeling which drove the blood to the king's heart as he instantly felt that he had sinned in vain. The advantage of his crime was snatched from him at the instant of fruition. Half in anger, half in anguish, he cried, Hast thou found thee, O my enemy? He is ready to walk into this wonderful vineyard. And who is there to greet him? Elijah. Oh, my enemy. So it is that Elijah has obeyed and has stood boldly against sin as he obeyed God to confront Ahab. Verse 21, Behold, I will bring evil upon thee and will take away thy posterity and will cut off from him that pisseth against the wall and him that is shut up and left in Israel. We have encountered this bizarre expression, him that pisseth against the wall, and I have considered this for a very long time. I think I'm going to throw out a theory. Maybe it's right, maybe it's wrong. We have here, obviously, it's talking about males. But why does the Bible use, if you will, a crude expression? Why doesn't it just say all the males? I personally believe as we stand back and just take it at face value, the expression is saying all of the males that have such development in their growth, they're tall enough, they're balanced enough, they're able to do that, to piss against a wall. It's not saying, well, everybody 2 years old and under. No, we're going to look at the development of these people, and they are the ones. So I do think that's possibly what it means. I'm not going to be dogmatic on that. I do find it a very unusual passage. He's going to cut off from Ahab him that pisseth against the wall, those males which have developed, and also him that is shut up and left in Israel. Verse 22, And will make thine house like the house of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, and like the house of Baasha, the son of Ahijah, for the provocation wherewith thou hast provoked me to anger and made Israel to sin. Jezebel also spake the Lord, saying, The dogs shall eat Jezebel by the wall of Jezreel. Him that dieth of Ahab in the city, the dogs shall eat. And him that dieth in the field shall the fowls of the air eat. Here it says this interesting passage, made Israel to sin. Now the truth is each person is accountable for their own behavior, their own sin. But when you are in a position of authority and you are abusing that authority, you are misusing that authority, you can put people in very difficult situations. I have to wonder, as we studied about the death of Naboth, it made a point of saying in his city, the men of his city, I don't think they necessarily wanted to execute this man. But if I don't, I'm next. See the problem. And a lot of people aren't willing to stand up for what's right. Go ahead, kill me. Each person is accountable for their own behavior, and that behavior often affects others. Consider the house of Jeroboam and the house of Baasha. Now, what do you remember about Jeroboam? You have to go back in 1 Kings, earlier in our study, much earlier in our study. Solomon had sinned greatly. When he died, Rehoboam took his place, and Jeroboam is the one that led the rebellion from the 10 tribes up north. And he's the one that led them into the split that caused northern Israel and southern Israel. And it came to pass, verse 29, it came to pass when he reigned that he smote all the house of Jeroboam, left not Jeroboam that breathed. God is going to bring judgment upon Jeroboam from many, many years ago for sins. Jeroboam was a terrible sinner. Baasha, and it came to pass when he began to reign that he slew all the house of Baasha. The punishment was severe that was brought upon these men. And sometimes judgment is delayed, but God is on the throne and he is just and he is right in his decisions. Jezebel and Ahab will suffer. Take a look at 1 Kings 22:37. And so the king died, was brought to Samaria, and they buried the king in Samaria. And as you read on in that passage, it's talking about he died. And in the chariot where he was, the dogs licked up his blood. Did you know that God foretold it and it's going to happen exactly like that? God knows tomorrow, folks. Don't worry about it. It's in God's hands. We can also see, and we will study much later in the study, 2 Kings chapter 9, when Jezebel was thrown out of a window onto the street. The dogs ate her. Quote, Ahab never possessed the vineyard of Naboth. Isn't that amazing? All that happened, and he never got it. Ahab never possessed the vineyard of Naboth. He held it, but that very fact became to him a torment. However fine the vintage, for him the grapes were acrid, poisonous. That which is gained by fraud is never possessed. He never really got to enjoy it. Ahab's response. Look at verse 25. There was none like Ahab, which did sell himself to work wickedness, whom Jezebel, his wife, stirred up. Verse 26, he was abominable in his following of idols. The very thing that God destroyed the Ammonites for so that Israel could have their land, he repeats. And when it came to pass, and he heard those words, he rent his clothes, he tore them. He fasted. He lay in sackcloth and went softly. And God sees that, and God is merciful. The most wicked king God ever had in Israel, and God says, I'll have mercy on him. Because God is not willing that any should perish. He does not delight in punishing people. He delights in sinners that come to him and say, I've sinned greatly. Verse 29. Seest thou how Ahab humbled himself before me? Because he humbles himself before me. I will not bring his evil in my day. Did you know that God's allowed to change his mind based upon our actions? Now, God knew all along what was going to happen. But if you decide this, God says, fine, then I will do this. And if you do this, then God says, okay, I'll do this. God already knew. We still have a free will. Elijah is a changed man. He's not telling God what to do. What do you mean you're giving this guy mercy? He didn't say that. And so it is that God is working through Elijah. He keeps Ahab on the throne. And the coming judgment upon Ahab will be in the next generation. And if you look ahead in the text, you will see that Ahab had a total of 72 sons. 70, and then two particular main sons, Ahaziah and Jehoram. And they were all trained in the wickedness of Ahab and Jezebel. So we can look at that and say, wait a minute, is it really fair that the sons are going to die? You have to remember, Ahab's behavior made them what they are, They are held accountable now on their own. They could have chosen to do right. But how many times do parents fail to do as they ought to have done? What do we consider about this passage? God is merciful. You want to take something out of this passage? Have mercy on me, O God. And God says, I hear you. I hear you. Let's get back and let's get on a good path. Let's keep going. We need to see that God is a God of judgment. If God does not judge sin, then he's really not God, because he's a righteous God. Sin has to be dealt with. This is not a game. He does care how we live. We must remember this too. God keeps the perfect record. Quote, from a worldly point of view, Naboth might have done a good stroke of business by selling his estate to Ahab. A royal price and assured favor might have been his, but he had a conscience. Above the persuasive tones of the monarch's offer sounded the voice of God, the land shall not be sold forever, for the land is mine. No, because of God forbid, I will not do that. Ahab still continuing to quote, Ahab knew perfectly well that Jezebel could not give him the property of another except by foul means, but he took pains not to inquire. Though the direct orders of Naboth's death did not come from him, yet by his silence he was an accomplice and an accessory, and divine judgment penetrates all such spacious excuses. God holds us responsible for wrongs which we do not arrest, though we have the power. The crime was blacker because of the pretext of religion. It's suggested by a fast. The blood of murdered innocents cries to God, and his requital, though delayed, is inevitable. So it is. If you want something and it's not yours to have, let it go. Let it go. Naboth, for some reason, God allowed him to suffer. But God's there, and in heaven, all things are made right.
This is Pastor Rod Holler. I pray you enjoyed that message. Thanks for listening.